Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at the Sun conjoining Uranus in the sign of Taurus. This is significant because the Sun's conjunction to Uranus will be reactivating the recent Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. We're going to talk about what that means and why it's important today. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments and reflections. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. Two promos today. I am really, really excited because as of the time that I am doing this talk, I just finished writing and creating my presentation on Neptune's entrance into Aries. If you go to the events tab on my website, click on live talks, you're going to see the link to register for the next monthly webinar, which is on May 16th. The talk is called Neptune into Aries when the ocean turns red. It is really, really important that we start looking at Neptune's entrance into Aries. Not only because it is a major shift for an outer planet, which is always important, but also because when Neptune enters Aries, Saturn will shortly follow and the two will conjoin. This is the most significant outer planetary conjunction since the Saturn-Pluto conjunction at the outset of the pandemic, and we all know how that went. I'm not suggesting, I don't want to be gloom and doom, but this is a major, major big deal. And it's really important to start talking and thinking about what this combination represents and how it will affect us both personally and collectively. During this talk, we're going to be looking at all of the major archetypal significations of Neptune in Aries and how that might show up for us personally, spiritually, psychologically. But we are also going to be talking about how this planet may show up collectively. Did you know that the last time that Neptune was in Aries between 1861 and 1875, it coincided with the start of the American Civil War? I'm not saying that something like that is going to happen again, but we ought to be very aware of Neptune and Aries meanings archetypally and how they relate to that period historically and what some of the echoes might be for us now. And also, there are so many interesting historical trends that I found as I was doing more and more research on that period of time and looking at it from through the lens of Neptune and Aries. So I think you guys will really like this talk. And it's a very good one to start prepping us for easily one of the major shifts of this entire decade, which will be taking place next year. Anyway, in June and July, you can see the other talks that I'm doing. Check those out on the courses tab. First year course starts June 16th, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, our first year program in Hellenistic astrology. As Jupiter and Pluto are trining from Gemini to Aquarius, this is a very good time to be studying ancient astrology. In terms of the ability to comprehend and have this ancient hermetic mandala, like speak to you and become intelligible, this is a very good signature in the sky right now under which to start a program like this. I don't say that all the time. I only say it when I think there are transits like that, and this is one of them. Anyway, the early bird payment and early bird installment plan for the program expire on May 15th, so you have just a little bit of time left to take advantage of this sale. And if you are someone who could use tuition assistance to make the program possible, you can click on the Apply Now link. We have a sliding scale. You can enter the amount that you can afford, and we match you with a plan within that sliding scale. We want to make sure that people who would like to study astrology, whether you want to go professional or you're just doing it for your own personal and spiritual growth, we want to make sure that it's accessible for people who are coming from all different kinds of backgrounds. So anyway, on that note, if you stick around after today's program, you'll see that I do an in-depth breakdown of what the program includes. Stick around if you want to learn more. All right, now let us turn our attention to the real-time clock so we can look at this conjunction that's coming up. So the conjunction, as we are looking here, this is May 10th, Friday, and we're going to see that the Sun is just about 2 degrees away from Uranus. So you have probably been noticing this energy in the air since yesterday, right? There we go. And then kind of speed it up just a touch, and we will find that you get over the weekend. Here it is Sunday into Monday, and by Monday morning, the conjunction is just separating. So the total span of time we could look at here would be about Thursday, May 9th, all the way, we give it 3 degrees of separation till about Thursday, May 16th. So you've got right now, as of today, on our Friday that we're listening to this, May 10th, you have about a full week in which you may notice any of the significations or themes that we're talking about, though I would put the most likely expression of this archetypal combination on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, the next 3 days, which is why we're doing this today. we've been spending a lot of time looking at Jupiter's upcoming entrance into Gemini, but the truth is we have some really like the grand finale of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus is still right in front of us. So this is a really exciting time. I want to talk about five things to watch for given this archetypal conjunction. One is, and by the way, if my face looks red, I had this, I had a skin treatment on my face yesterday. So it's like my face is a little bit red, but it's supposed to help you, your face recreate collagen. So I was like, hey, yeah, my wife tried it. And I thought, well, I'm going to try it too. So anyway, if I look red, that's why. It's very Venus in Taurus. Like Venus enters my first house and I'm like, let's go do something for, you know, your skin. And it's a good thing my face is red because you can't see it turning even redder. Anyway, okay, so five themes to watch for around Jupiter-Uranus. Anyhow, number one is the rapid acceleration of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So look, whatever whole sign house you just had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction taking place in your natal chart, the topics of that house were the subject of the Jupiter-Uranus revolutionary seeding point. So you can recall those from horoscopes at the beginning of May, for example. We did them in April as well, we did them in May looking at the Taurus house, and then we did them in April as well. So you can think of those topics and the fact that there's been a seed of growth and transformation and sort of rapid accelerated and revolutionary qualities happening in that place of Taurus in your birth chart. When the sun goes over Uranus, and then remember, subsequently, we'll be looking at this next week, it'll start heading into a conjunction with Jupiter, which also means that Jupiter's getting its synodic reset moment, which is also a seeding from the sun. So those two things happening back to back are sort of rebridging the connection between Uranus and Jupiter, because they're just separating within those 3 degrees right now or so. And so sun going back over them in order is a way of intensifying and sort of like pressing the gas pedal on what they represent, because the sun gives them energy. So the fact that the sun is going over Uranus and then Jupiter in succession means that the promise of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is about to, you could say, gain momentum, or it hits a period of rapid development and acceleration. It doesn't mean that all of the events promised by the conjunction are suddenly going to happen, but it does mean that you're likely to see the acceleration of events and themes related to Jupiter-Uranus and a kind of momentum or critical phase of development. And also with the sun coming through there, you have to think, here's the source of life, right? So remember, when Jupiter-Uranus first conjoined, the ruler was debilitated in Aries. Venus is now co-present in Taurus, and now the sun's hitting Uranus and then Jupiter. And so we're really starting to see the fruits, the early fruits, you could say, of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And the easiest way to understand what that might mean more specifically is to look at the topics of the whole sign house in your birth chart that Taurus occupies. But also, broadly speaking, Jupiter, Uranus, and Taurus is trying to create things like transformation and breakthrough on the level of all things Venusian and Taurian. Wealth, stability, peace, luxury, comfort, ease, enjoyment, sensual gratification, a sense of both power and stability and enjoyment kind of combined. It's that sense that the Earth is a beautiful, easy, stable, enjoyable place. And what are we doing to try to enhance that feeling or sense? And it could be happening in any area of life. That could have something to do with finances, or it could have something to do with love, or it could have something to do with creativity, or it might have something to do with your health, or, you know, lots of different ways. Or it could have something to do with intellectual and spiritual and philosophical themes. If it might be in your ninth house, right? So again, it's important to look at that whole sign house, but sun going over Uranus just means that, and then Jupiter in succession, we're going to start seeing a rapid period of support, development, momentum coming in behind the recent Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. That's the broadest meaning. Number two is that anytime the sun and Uranus conjoin, remember, think of conjunctions as seeding points. Seeding points are exciting, just like, I don't know, I remember when I found out like that that Ashley was pregnant with our first daughter, and I didn't even know, like, it was really funny how it happened. She just set the t- test down like at the like whatever we were eating breakfast, and she just like set the test down, and I was like, oh, I was like, oh wow, okay, game on. And I was so excited, like I was sincerely just over the moon excited. But that seeding moment, it's like discovering that, you know, it's discovering that you're with child. It doesn't mean that the child is born, and it doesn't mean that you're living your life with the full ramifications of being a parent, right? So I'm using this as an analogy. It means that a seed has been planted, and all of a sudden there is a whole new world of potential that you realize exists on the horizon because of this very powerful seeding moment. It reminds me of the sun card in the tarot. Ever seen this? It's like a little child on a horse. It's like the sun is bright. Yeah, so it's an exciting moment. Or it's like the page of cups with the little fish jumping out of the cup. There is a sense of there being something exciting that offers a promise or potential for growth and development. And this is, again, you can hear echoes of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction here, but what we're talking about when these two planets get together is a seeding point, and that seeding point could be talked about as, or could be described as illuminating. Oh, wow, I see something. Or from this moment forward, new actions will be, I mean, as soon as you find out that you're pregnant, it's like, okay, now the wheels are put in motion. You know what I mean? And there's now we have to do things. So the seeding point of Sun and Uranus, especially coming off the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, will start giving you the impetus to act and start doing things because there is a promise that's making itself clear. There's an illuminated sense of what the path forward is going to look like from this time on, and a clearer sense of where you've been and where things have been heading. So it doesn't mean that there's not a whole trajectory that still has to be played out, because this is a conjunction after all. But that sense of illumination and action moving forth from a seeding point, and also the liberation of stuck energy. Uranus is known, of course, with any planetary combination for liberating and emancipating. So where the Sun and Uranus get together, there's this sort of illuminating, clarifying, action-oriented, and freeing up of energy. And that will, for most of us, will be very welcome and will be even more sort of amplified than a usual Sun-Uranus conjunction because of the connection with Jupiter and the recent Jupiter-Uranus connection. Number three is stimulation, enthusiasm, and discovery. Just generally speaking, you may notice on an energetic level that you just feel greatly stimulated, that it's sort of like being plugged into the cosmic electric, an outlet. And there's just energy coursing through. So it's like, oh my God, this is really exciting. And then that feeling of being possessed by a god, entheos. Enthusiasm comes from the word entheos, which means the god within. So the stimulation and this sense of being possessed by an archetype that's illuminating, that's inspiring, that's action-oriented, that comes with this kind of liberating momentum behind it. That's why this conjunction is so exciting. It can also be about discovery. Like I said, with illumination is like suddenly something is clear. Discovery can be like an idea, like a little light bulb that goes off, an epiphany, or a sense of having discovered, or even like this, that stroke of innovation or creativity, a moment of discovery. So watch for those themes. And it could be related to an ongoing process as well that has some history behind it already, since we know that Jupiter and Uranus have been working together around these same degrees for some time now. Number four would be a liberation of paternal karma. Interestingly, anytime the Sun and Uranus get together, there is often either in the immediate sense or in the sense of, again, a seeding that will play out over time, there is a powerful release of stuck or more like calcified energy around dad karma. Just broadly speaking, you may see the dad karma in your life, whether you're a father or you're thinking of your father or fathers of significant others, like a spouse or something. You will see that there will often be significant changes around anyone who represents a solar figure. Often that's fathers, and so paternal karma, but anyone who plays that role of like leader or they kind of have a solar presence in your life. And number five are Venusian breakthroughs. So remember, Jupiter-Uranus in a Venus-ruled sign. Venus is also co-present in Taurus now. Sun Uranus in a Venus ruled sign with Venus co-present can just mean that on the level of pleasure, sex, love, relationships, that suddenly there is a flurry of passionate, inspired activity. You know, you can suddenly feel just like creatively or sexually or romantically that there is a kind of combustible and exciting quality that is shifting your relationships, or maybe shifting your relationship with pleasure or something like that. And that is a pretty exciting theme, but it will be made all the more powerful by the fact that Jupiter and Uranus just got together in Taurus. So these are the things to watch for. I am really excited to see what this period is like, because I think that this is one of the more interesting pieces of the year following on the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Lots of transits in Taurus. We're going to be looking at Venus going through the conjunction with Uranus and then with Jupiter. And so there's more to come. Jupiter and the Sun also getting together will be part of our explorations next week. So anyway, that's it for today. If you stick around after I sign off, you can learn more about the upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. I hope to see you there. Again, like I said, it's a really good time to start studying astrology this June in our new program. We try to make sure the program is really accessible. You can stick around to learn more about it. And I hope you guys have a very exciting and invigorating weekend with these energies in the air. All right, we'll see you again soon. Bye. Hey everyone, thanks for sticking around. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our upcoming program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, my year one course in ancient Hellenistic astrology that begins on June 16th. If you'd like to learn more about it, of course, you can always do some digging and looking at the course page on your own. I'll take you over there right now and walk you through it. But if you want to, you can go over yourself and look. Nightlightastrology.com is the website. Click on the courses tab and go to the first year course. This is the one that begins on June 16th, the perfect place to start for people who would like to learn more about natal astrology from the Hellenistic point of view. So this is a one-year course in Hellenistic astrology, which is the oldest form of astrology, and it is the form from which all subsequent forms of astrology come from. It shares a lot in its roots with ancient Indian astrology. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what characterizes Hellenistic astrology, but just to familiarize you with this page, when you go to the first year course page and scroll down, you can learn more about everything that's included in the course. Some of the main features include 30 classes on the year. These classes are spread out through units of curriculum. And in between the major units of curriculum, we have breakout study sessions led by our tutoring staff. We also have an interactive group forum discussion that is staffed with tutors year-round. You always get your questions answered within 24 hours. So there's a lot of support built into the program as we work our way through the curriculum. We also have recommended reading, listening, optional quizzes, flashcards, bonus lectures, more than you could possibly read in a year, honestly. So we just have a large and long biography and sort of library of suggested bonus content that will fill in blanks and also supplement and deepen the material that we are studying. You get lifetime access to all the recordings. If you cannot attend the webinars live, they meet on the weekends, but if you can't attend them live, then you are welcome to follow along with the recordings, which are made available to you on the class website. So this class meets on Sundays from noon Central to 2 p.m. Central, or 1 Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And you might translate that, I guess, if you're on the West Coast, it would be what, 10 a.m. to noon Pacific time. During the program, in addition to working our way through all of the major curriculum, the major foundational elements of Hellenistic astrology, we place a strong emphasis on preparing ourselves to read charts for other people. Whether this is a hobby for you or something that you are endeavoring to practice professionally, the course is built for people who are really there for a lot of different reasons. This is your hobby. This is your passion. You hope to do this for really no one other than yourself, or maybe friends or family, or someone who really decides they want to start a practice. You can take this class at whatever level of interest or depth that you want because of the amount of material that we make available to you inside and outside of class. You always have access to the program too, so you can always, you know, take it at your own pace. You can attend live, follow along with the recordings, some combination of both. And then the breakout study sessions are really helpful in addition to our interactive group forum discussion. You can always ask us questions. You can email me anytime with questions. So we have a lot of support in place. Now, the curriculum, we move through the foundational elements of ancient astrology. You may look at the curriculum and say, well, I know something about these things already, but not Not really, not unless you've studied Hellenistic astrology, because the way that ancient astrologers talked about houses, signs, planets, aspects, essential dignities, chart delineation is radically different from what most people learn when they start studying modern astrology. The reason for that is that it's only been in the past couple of decades that we have finally had access to the vast majority of ancient texts on Hellenistic astrology. We were literally missing the bulk of our ancient tradition. So the kind of rebirth or reawakening of ancient astrology is really new, which makes this very exciting, because everything you've learned in modern astrology is probably coming from the lens of what is called psychological astrology, which is a way of looking at the birth chart in terms of the planets, signs, houses, and the way in which they may relate to your psychological makeup or profile. In this way, birth charts are a little bit like an elaborate Myers-Briggs. So you have the personality profiling, which is the way that most people look at planets, houses, and signs. You'll notice they my Mars, my Venus, and they think of them as aspects or dimensions of your character and personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we utilize much of the same language, and we certainly have that approach available to us in this program, because ancient astrologers also looked at the chart in terms of psychological makeup. However, one of the main distinctions between modern astrology and ancient astrology is the emphasis that ancient astrologers placed on prediction. They looked at the chart in terms of a field of karma that defines the native or the individual's fate or destiny. And so we look at houses, signs, planets, aspects as a way of understanding what patterns, themes, and topics are going to be most prevalent and at what times, because they also had a very elaborate system of timing techniques. The year one program is all about learning to read the birth chart and understanding the ancient hermetic sort of Platonic Pythagorean philosophy that was behind the establishment of all of the doctrines and teachings of astrology itself. So it's really about understanding where everything comes from. It's the why behind everything that greatly empowers people when they're learning astrology. It is not nearly the same when you just study lists of adjectives and descriptions for houses, signs, planets, aspects. We want to understand why. Why do we do these things at all? Where did it all come from? And when you understand that, then you have something like a skeleton key by means of which you can access your own creativity, your own intuition, rather than being told, just play these notes in this order and it will sound good. You're learning to improvise, which, you know, could anyone ever want to play? Why would you want to play an instrument if someone told you, well, here's how to play. Play this, play this, play that. And you never learned how to play something of your own, or you never learned how to use the scales in ways that were magical and, pertain to your own genie, your own genius. So when we study ancient astrology, one of the main things we're doing is we're taking people beyond anything that they think they've learned about houses, signs, planets, aspects, and we're teaching them where it all came from. And once you have that, then you're really cooking with fire. You have a magical intuitive capacity that is very rare and precious in astrology. So anyway, we move through a lot of different elements, but not in the way that you've ever learned them before. And that's a really important distinction. So anyway, after all of that has been said, in each unit, we spend, maybe up to 10 hours on houses. And then we have a breakout study session. And then we have reading and bonus material. So when we talk about houses in this class, you are learning where the concept of a house ever came from in the first place, what it is, how it works, and how it's different from a sign. You're also going to unlearn and break a lot of bad habits, because not by any intentional ignorance, but modern astrology, being bereft of its ancient textual tradition, has been teaching a lot of things that are just not in line with where the actual theoretical foundations of astrology come from. So you're also going to break some bad habits, which is really good for people who maybe know a little bit about astrology already, but are seeking to clarify and understand theory in the context of the 2000-year history of astrology. So anyway, this class is going to prepare you to read birth charts for other people. But then by the end, one of the great things about the program is that the way we do that is not just by pumping you full of theory and history and philosophy. We are also, in the last portion of the program, inviting live clients into the class. And that's great, because when we have live clients come in, you're going to see me read from them using the theory and techniques that we've been studying. And you're going to see how they can be applied artfully, as well as, giving you some tools and methods and techniques to use to set you up for success. Seeing live astrology practice while studying it is the best way to learn. So the last portion of the program, we turn toward that hands-on approach. Anyway, so that's a bit about the program. If you have any questions you want to ask, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. We're happy to answer any questions you have whatsoever. I also want to point people to the payment options at the bottom. Early bird payment saves you $500 off. That is a great way to save. The payment plan is breaking the tuition into 12 monthly installments. If that works better for you, no worries, you can do that. And then need-based tuition. We, for many, many years now, dating back to 2010 when I started teaching astrology, I've always had some kind of sliding scale option available for people when studying astrology. Sacred science like this should be accessible to people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So we pride ourselves on making sure that there is tuition assistance available so that if your budget doesn't match with the payment price that we ask for, and that's an honest assessment that we trust you to make, that you can take advantage of the tuition assistance and set your price within a sliding scale that we provide for your monthly tuition for 12 months through the program. So please feel free to apply for that if it makes sense to you. We don't want people hurting themselves or overextending themselves. A price that fits your budget is available through the need-based tuition. We just ask that you apply early because we do fill up sometimes. So anyway, that is it. I hope that you will consider studying with us, and thanks for taking time to learn more about the program. See you later.